All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Welcome to the Oilers Nation Radio Playoff Prediction Show. Finally, boys, we are here. We are ready to talk playoffs. We are going to spend the next hour doing so. I am Bag Milk. I'm here with Tyler Remchuk. Rick's here. Nation Dan's here. We're going to break it all down. One more game left in the regular season against the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow. We're going to look at that too. Lots going on. First, I want to thank our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant. Again, spring is in the air. Maybe out in the road, getting a road trip in, going to drive to the mountains maybe. Get your vehicle in order. Oil change, new tires, a little bit of service for the summer. Maybe you just need a new whip entirely. Our friends at Sherwood Ford are there to help. Again, boys, Broncos. Playoff Broncos. We've got 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is, to make it happen. Sherwood Ford, four Broncos, 4 days to make it happen. Let's go. Follow them on Twitter, at Sherwood Ford, on Instagram, at Sherwood Ford underscore the Giants. But as we do every week on Oilers Nation Radio, we start off with the Sherwood Ford Giant question of the week. So I turn it over to my friend Tyler Remchuk.
The Sherwood Ford Giant question of the week. It's almost playoff time. And I think we asked this question before the series in Chicago against Chicago in the summer as well. But we're going to throw it out there again. Edmonton's playoff hero, Fernando Pisani, obviously cemented his legacy back in 2006. So which Oiler will be this year's Fernando Pisani? Who will be that player who has their career-defining moment in the playoffs? Who not necessarily comes out of nowhere, but finds a way to play their best hockey when it means the most? Who's going to be this year's Fernando Pisani? That's the question.
I love this question too, because the thing about Fernando is that it kind of came about out of nowhere. If you remember, like, he had a decent season in 2005, 2006, but when the playoffs came, he really cranked it up, scored some monstrous goals. And I think that we should just add a little caveat here, Tyler.
Yep.
This can't be one of the usual suspects.
No,
we know Connor's going to Connor. We know Leon's going to Leon. Let's look at somewhere else on the roster. I'm just going to throw it out. Who wants to start? Who is Pisani 2021?
I'll start.
Go ahead, Dan.
I think a guy that's set up for it, just not even just his skill level, but the fact that everybody's just kind of quiet on him, is Gaetan Haas. I think there's a guy.
Frank
was all over that.
But for me, his speed, he's got that determination that you like to see from a Fernando Pisani type. Frank is now in the frame and letting me know he's voicing his verbal displeasure right in front of the camera at me. But yeah, I'm still going with it, Frank. I'm sorry. But Gaetan Haas, for me, will be the guy that we can count on for maybe not the, 14 goals that Fernando Pisani gave us, but, you know, pushing that 10 mark by the end of the Western Conference Finals.
See, I think you're close, but the thing with Gaetan Haas is I don't think he actually gets in every game. I'm not even sure he gets in the first game. I think the much like your player though, I'm going with Josh Archibald. He's going to get, as did Pisani, he's going to get a little bit of PK time. And he's got the speed, man. He's got the opportunity to move up and down the lineup. When he gets hot, he can pop some. So, you know what, if we had to pick somebody who's not, you know, in the top six, or at least, you know, four of the top six, down in the bottom six for goal scoring, I think he's probably your best bet.
I'm a little bit upset because I was going to pick Josh Archibald. I think that he's got finish, you know, he's got jam, he's got grit, he's got wheels. He's the kind of player that can make a difference in the playoffs. Looking at the roster, who do I want to go with now? You know who I think is going to come up big? And I think that it's going to be huge if he does, is a guy that has a cup ring on this roster. He plays in the bottom parts of
the old answer.
It's the answer. Alex Chiasson is going to be the guy that I pick. He plays power play minutes, so he's going to get a chance to score some goals there. He can score at 5-on-5. That line with McLeod Neal has been relatively effective over the last little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that Chiasson has got the tools to be that guy. He's not going to kill penalties like Fernando did, but he can contribute at 5-on-5, and he can also contribute on the power play. The guy's got a shot. He's got size. He's got experience. And I think for a young team like the Oilers, I think Dave Tippett is probably going to lean on those guys that have got a little bit more playoff experience. And I think Alex Chiasson is the one that could do it. We used to call him the answer. Maybe he will be the answer once more. Chiasson gets my vote.
My vote, you're close to me, Peg Milk, but I'm on the other side of the ice. I'm going with the real deal himself, James Neal. He's starting to play some really good hockey right now. He scored against Montreal. He's had a ton of other chances, 3 points in his last three games. And most importantly, he is a guy who knows what it takes in the playoffs. Over 100 career games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 33 career goals. We have seen it go back to the beginning of last season when that guy was scoring in bunches early on. When he gets going, maybe gets a little bit of that shooting percentage luck as well, James Neal can do some damage. He's looking good right now. Dave Tippett clearly put an emphasis on getting him going before the playoffs. And I think James Neal is going to make Dave Tippett look pretty smart in the postseason. Maybe again, maybe not 14 goals, but I think James Neal's offensive output will be significant, and it could make him this year's Fernando Pisani.
It's going to be James Neal. I like that pick too, because the guy's starting to pick up some points now that he's back in the lineup. He's starting to look better. And just like Chiasson, if they want a different look on the power play, they throw him out there as the net front presence. We know he's got the hands, he's got the shot. It's the old boots that need a little bit of work. So I think James Neal is another solid pick. If you're listening to this right now, hit us up, ON Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I want to know who your 2021 version of Pisani is.
Another sneaky pick might be a guy who's had two goals in his last two games, and that's Dominic Cahoon. I think a lot of people kind of wrote him off as a part of this team. But, you know, same kind of issue, I think, as Gaetan Haas has, where he's maybe not in every game. But once you start chipping in that bottom six role, the coach is hard pressed to take you out again. So yeah, I think that there's some good opportunity here for us to find a Fernando Pisani out of the mix.
And I want to throw this in there as well. Like, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins doesn't belong in this conversation because he is one of the Oilers' better players, but I really want to see Nuge have a good playoff run here. Like, for everything he's kind of been through, for the portion of the fan base that is for some dumb reason soured on him, all that stuff. I want to see Nuge have a strong playoffs. And Bag Milk, I got a buddy who, like yourself, diehard Nuge fan. He loves the guy. And we were texting the other day, just getting hyped up about the playoffs. And he was like, you have no idea what I would give to see Ryan Nugent-Hopkins score a big goal or an overtime winner. Can you imagine a Nugent-Hopkins overtime winner in the playoffs? That little leg up, throw it home, and how fired up he'd get? Oh, my mustache brother, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. All I want out of this playoff run is a Stanley Cup, obviously. But the other thing, I want a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins OT winner.
I think it would be, obviously he is still negotiating his contract extension. Frank Saravalli, they were talking about it on insider trading yesterday. The Oilers have made multiple offers. They're still going back and forth. It seems like both sides want to get it done. Whether or not that happens, we still have, you know, we still have plenty of time before free agency kicks in. But for Nuge, a strong playoff run can go a long way into making that contract happen. Clearly, there's a divide there between the organization and the player. Who knows how far apart they are. But a playoff push where he sinks meaningful goals all over the place when you need them, that could go a long way to bumping up that total for him. So I am very hopeful that Nuge can get that done, because also, since he's come back from his concussion, he's playing some of the best hockey of the season. He just scored an absolute laser beam of a goal from way out on Wednesday night against Habs. He's starting to get that shot back. Tyler texted me as soon as it went in. He's starting to get that mojo back. And I think that this could be a big time for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
And to your point too, Bagmilk, the other side of it is, even if he does do the intangible stuff, the stuff that doesn't show up on the score sheet, and this team goes on a deep run, that may, you know, may help the player decide that he wants to stick around and be a part of something special going forward too. So yeah, only good things can happen for Nugent Hopkins and any player in a kind of a negotiation situation. And especially if he can start to produce like we know he can.
If there's one thing that some Oilers fans hate, it is when a player is negotiating a new contract, isn't it? There is something about a new contract for players in this city that it just does not go well. Just doesn't. I don't know.
People were responding with that kind of stuff when we posted the Cassian highlights yesterday. It's like, he only does that in a contract year. Well, we've only been in the playoffs in a contract year for Cassian, so that's not really his fault, is it?
Again, I want to know who your answer is. Who's the Pisani in 2021? Hit us up, ON Radio Podcast. It could be anybody outside of the major contributors. All right? So not Connor, no Leon. We're taking Nuge off the board as well. Maybe you think Puljujärvi. He plays on the first line with Connor. But you know what? If he goes nuclear in the playoffs and the big man starts sinking him even more than he is, that could be a real problem for the Jets. That can be a real problem for the Jets. We will find out starting on Wednesday. In the meantime, head on over to skipthedish.ca, get yourself something to eat. It is a Friday afternoon. It's beautiful. It's supposed to be lovely tomorrow. We've got a matinee coming up at 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Wrap up the season. We'll start playing Closing Time by Semisonic right before the game starts. But get yourself something to eat. Maybe some wings, Tyler. Some midday wings. That'd be nice.
Or maybe get some matzo sticks driven in from Arby's.
I just don't understand you. You're the only person ever in the world that gets matzo sticks from Arby's.
They're so good.
Getting off the rails here for a second, we were going to go do axe throwing at our last Christmas party we were able to have. And we stopped for a pregame meal at Arby's, which we do. And then all of a sudden, Tyler's just like, I'll take the matzo sticks. Everybody's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And the marinara sauce is top notch.
It's decent. I have a couple better sauces in my fridge, but I'll tell you, matzo sticks are pretty good. You got to eat them fast. That cheese, it starts to cool off a bit, and you're in trouble there. It's just like stuffed crust pizza. But guys, it's a day game on a Saturday. It's super duper nice outside. Skip the Dishes also does skip the old booze.
Yep.
So just maybe order a little bit of liquor there. It's a Saturday afternoon. Have a couple of drinks, sit outside, get a little bit of suntan, and get ready for hockey in May.
I love it. I love it. Skipthedish.ca. Get yourself something to drink. Stay a little bit hydrated, provided you're a legal drinking age, or something to eat if you're hungry. Also, since Rick brought it up, tomorrow is supposed to be, I'm looking at the forecast, supposed to be 22 degrees here at Edmonton, according to the one I'm looking at. And I want to know what your setup looks like if you're watching the game outside. Hit us up. ON Radio Podcast. If you're watching the game outside, let me know.
We'll share some of the best on our podcast Instagram page too, if you tag us.
It'll be great. I want to see what you guys are rolling with. I want to see what you're rolling with. Boys, let's talk about the task at hand, the Jets. The game starts on Wednesday at 7:00. Oilers and the Jets kick off. Obviously, this is a big series for the boys. The Oilers have run the show 7-2, the season series was. Let's just start off with some keys to victory over the Winnipeg Jets. Now, I'm going to just say season series now, to me, doesn't matter anymore. This is a new game, a new dance, a new start. Tyler, when you're looking at the series against the Jets, what's the biggest key to victory? Let's just start one at a time. What's the biggest key to victory that you can think of to make sure that season success rolls into the playoffs?
We have seen throughout that season series that production from 97 and 29 is enough to get the Oilers past the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg does not have the horses on defense to slow down McDavid and Draisaitl. It's really as simple as that. But what I'll say is this, the depth scoring is important. The Oilers need some solid goaltending. I really do still think that is the key to all of this, because you're going to get two, maybe three per game from Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I think that's going to happen, especially if you lump in the power play production. I'm not concerned about that. But if you get goaltending like you did against Chicago last summer, we saw that. Two or three a night from Draisaitl and McDavid wasn't enough in that situation. They still need to keep getting the solid goaltending. Mike Smith has had a fantastic season. I don't think he's going to cool off, because he hasn't shown any signs of cooling off. He's had a save percentage of 900 or better in three of his last five starts. He's still playing well. And against Winnipeg this year, he's played pretty good on top of that. In his two games in Winnipeg, he allowed just one goal despite facing 63 shots. He was lights out on the road in Winnipeg. At home against Winnipeg, three starts allowed a total of eight goals, but I think one of them might have been a relief appearance, or he was, no, I think he came in for relief, or Koskinen had come in for him, but still, he has good numbers this year against the Jets, and I think Mike Smith is actually still the key to an Oilers series win.
Rick, what do you think? Key to, the biggest key to victory for you over the Jets?
I was going to say the goaltending, but I guess goaltending and that's that team defense in their own zone are going to go hand in hand. As long as we don't give up the grade A chances, I think Mike Smith, even less than what he's been doing this year, even if he brings out like a B game, if we play properly in our own defensive zone, that'll be enough for him to keep the puck out of the net. So if I can't take goaltending, it's just the playing the tight five-man game in front of them and keeping their chances to a minimum.
Dan?
Yeah, for me, Tyler's right. This team will go as far as Mike Smith allows them to. I think that's just clear now with the way Koskinen's been playing down the stretch. But for me, and Rick also, you know, team defense always going to be important. For me, it's going to be shutting down the Nick Ehlers, Pierre-Luc Dubois, I was going to call him Kyle Dubas, but just shutting those guys down, because you've seen with the Winnipeg Jets, you know, in the last little stretch, they've been without Ehlers, and all of a sudden they can't seem to figure out how to win a hockey game. So for me, you just shut down those talented, skilled, smallish forwards, whether that's through physicality or through just playing defense and playing the puck in their end. And it shouldn't be a problem. I don't look at Hellebuck as an issue for this team. I think that's one thing that you can't throw out from the regular season, is the ability that the team has to have been able to get it past the former Vezina winner. So, yeah, for me, just shut down those smallish, talented, skilled forwards, and we should be just fine and skating on to Toronto or Montreal.
You guys kind of crossed off the things I had on my list. So I'm going to go with the bottom six for Edmonton has to beat the bottom six for Winnipeg. I think that Tyler's right. Connor and Leon are going to do Connor and Leon things. You can try to contain them as best you can, and maybe you do, but it won't last long. And those two have feasted on the Jets, Connor specifically, on the Jets this season. So I think those two are going to be fine. I think Mike Smith's going to be ready to go. I think he'll be okay too. But the bottom six, because if you look at the Jets forward group, they've got players that can burn you down the lineup, provided that they get the chance to do so. The Oilers need to find a way to make sure that their bottom six is at least sawing off even with Winnipeg's. If they can do that, we got a really good chance in this series. If the boys down in the bottom six, the McLeod, Chase on, Neil line, you know, we had two of those guys as our potential answers for the Pisani question. If those guys can start chipping in with some goals, as we've seen over the last little bit, that's going to be huge. It's going to be huge for the Oilers and their success against the Jets. And again, I got to throw it in there just because it's very on brand. Respect the blue lines, please.
Yes.
Respect the blue lines. There is that 6-foot window on either side of each blue line, and you don't want to get caught in there, because chances are, no matter which blue line you're at, yours or the other one, you're going the wrong way if you turn over there. And that's a very quick transition going the other way. Respect the blue lines. Is there anything anybody else wants to add to their keys? What are we missing?
If you don't respect the blue lines, Bag Milk does not respect you.
That's true. These are
He'll tear you up in blogs. Yep. Like it's not good.
That's true. And these are all facts. I will write you out of my will too, Tyler, if you don't respect the blue lines.
You know who is like Dominic Cahoon's having a pretty good finish of the year, but he's the one guy I always catch doing that. He's trying to do like a cute move with his own blue line. And I'm like, crazy. Oh man, just chip it out. Chip it out. You're not McDavid. Chip it out.
Yeah, you just make the simple play. Because again, like if you get caught in either of those zones going north, that turnover is going south.
Yeah.
Probably with an odd man rush the other way. So that is a detail that I've been complaining about all year. Clean it up. We'll be okay.
Especially like, I mean, in the playoffs, those things are just so magnified, right? Like that's what I'm a little bit worried about with Kulikov. Like what we've seen from him is he gives you, you know, for 59 minutes and 30 seconds of the hockey game, he's good. He's like a solid top forward, shutdown D-man. And then he makes that one mistake that you're like it's like he forgets which team he's playing for, right? You're like, dude, what the hell was that?
Bell giveaway.
Yeah.
It's aggressive too. It's like an aggressive giveaway. That's just, what are you doing? You know? Another thing I'm going to throw on there just on our list, the keys to the victory is special teams. Down the stretch, I don't have the numbers specifically for the PK available, but down the stretch, the Oilers have killed off a lot of penalties.
I think they're almost at 20 in a row, I believe it is. I don't think we got scored on last game.
So it's something like that.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's north of 15.
So early in the year, I was looking at some old wrap-ups I wrote at the beginning of the season, probably January, February, March. The Oilers' PK was down around 75%. Right now I'm looking at it. They've got one more game tomorrow against Vancouver. It's 82.2. So that's turned into an asset for this team. Power play is obviously fire. 28.1 as we're sitting today. Having special teams that effective and winning the special teams battles more often than not will be huge against the Jets. They're going to keep taking Tyler, if they're going to keep taking penalties against McDavid and Draisaitl, you're going to get fucking burned for it.
Can I share my stat now?
Yes, mate.
Since April 1st, the Oilers have an NHL best 93.3 PK percentage. And on the power play, they have an NHL best 32.7 power play percentage. So since April 1, the last 18 to 20 games of the season for most clubs, the Oilers best in the NHL, both power play and penalty kill.
And that's going to be huge.
And that really failed us when we got into that play-in round. You know, leading up to the COVID shutdown, it was almost automatic when we got a power play that we were getting a goal. Like it felt pretty like close. That, right? Like, and then you got into those play-in rounds and we finally got a call, I think in the second game. And I was like, okay, power play is going to save us here. And it didn't. And you know, the thing with the power play is that, and what you're speaking to, Bag Milk, is, you know, in the playoffs, the calls go away. You don't get as many, you know, of those ticky-tacky calls. You're going to get the obvious stuff, hopefully, but you got to really take advantage when you're given those opportunities to be able to put a puck in the back of the net and stop the puck from going in your net too.
I have a little bit of a beef with that idea.
No, you're wrong. It's okay. We'll just go to the next segment. It's fine.
In the regular season so far this year, the Oilers have averaged 3.1 power plays per game, and that's, you know, a decent amount. But in the playoffs last season, of the 24 teams to play in the playoff play-in round or better, 23 out of the 24 averaged 3 power plays or more in the playoffs / play-in round. If you go back to 2018-19, out of the 16 teams in the playoffs that year, 10 of them had 3 or more power plays per game. So I think the reason, like the rule book, it feels like it tightens up in the playoffs, but I would argue that this season, the rule books felt tight kind of the whole year. And also things get so much more intense in the playoffs that I do agree the refs don't call as much in the playoffs, but there's so many more infractions that you're going to get your looks on the power play probably, right? Like they don't call, let's say they call 1 out of every 4 cross checks, right? Just on a number in the regular season. Okay, let's say there's 4 cross checks in a game. In the playoffs, there's probably 4 cross checks a period that they need to be focused on. And that's why I think we tend to believe the rule book tightens up a little bit in the postseason, is just because there's so many more infractions and so many guys are trying to walk that line that the refs don't call it all. And we think there's a million missed calls everywhere, which I suppose they are, but I actually think the volume of calls stays pretty consistent.
I just think that the difference is And especially, you know, talking about last season and then into this season, there is no Rick in the stands to yell at the referee. There is no home.
I'm trying, man. I'll go right. I'll sit right on 104th Avenue, and I promise I get a couple beers in me. That voice travels a little bit. I just got to find the closest distance to the ice.
Admittedly, we haven't been able to see enough playoff, time recently to be able to speak to it confidently. But yeah, I guess you're right, Tyler. Like it's not so much the statistical. It's the perception, like you said, the physical play is amped up, and so the stuff that gets called all the time in the regular season, quote unquote, doesn't get called as much in the playoffs because there's more of it.
Do we have the referees that are coming for us?
I haven't seen.
Has that been penned out yet? Because if it's Skilleter, I'm finding my way in that building.
it's just like
Skilleter's trash.
You're gonna be one of the ice crew guys, and you're gonna be shoveling and stop and like
100%,
give
them. Oh yeah, dude, I didn't even think of that. Oh, I can definitely. Yeah, I'll pay somebody in
Home Alone style with a shovel.
I'll pay
to the
someone
back
in
the
in the parking lot to take their uniform. No problem.
Absolutely, we need to get Rick in there as the ice crew.
I'm gonna start making some phone calls.
Regardless of how many calls actually go through or not in the playoffs, the special teams are going to be insanely important. The Oilers clearly have the advantage in that department, at least right now. But the regular season doesn't mean jack shit once the postseason starts. So
yeah, I think it does a little bit because I think we are inside Winnipeg's head.
I hope so. Connor Hellebuck specifically, he's been great against a lot of teams this year, but not against the Oilers. So that is one thing I'm definitely hoping to carry.
And you can sit there and look in the camera and say, no, we're fine. No, it's zero. No, it blah, 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 blah. I don't care about none of that shit. When you're standing on the goal line and you see them coming down on you, that's in the back of your head.
Sure.
So as much as, you know, they'll tell you in front of the camera, they're fine. It gets in their head. You sneak one past them. We've seen it with our own goaltending, man. Last year, you get one past them and the whole team just got sort of imploded. You get one on Hellebuck there. I think right away you'll get in his head, especially if it's Connor and Leon doing their thing.
Well, around the horn real quick, do you think regular season success translates into the playoffs in a series like this, or does it not matter?
I think specifics like Rick said with a goalie, maybe a player or two. Like if Pionk had shut down McDavid like he did earlier in the season, the whole series, then I think that kind of stuff plays into it. But I don't think overall, like, we can expect the Oilers to win, you know, in a 9-game series, 7 games out of the 9 kind of thing.
I think it carries over in the sense that, like, Neil Pionk and Josh Morrissey suddenly don't get better at defending. Tucker Poolman doesn't suddenly become a better skater who can suddenly keep up with Connor McDavid off the rush, right? Like, those things don't change. I the Hellebuck thing worries me a little bit just because he's so good that I think, like, a goalie like that's capable of just, like, McDavid's capable of taking over things for 10 games. Hellebuck's capable of just playing out of his mind for 10 games. And in the playoffs, like, the margin for error is just so thin, right? Like, we talked about officiating. If there's a game where you're not getting the calls and you hit two goalposts at 5-on-5, like, that right there could be the difference between you winning or losing. Doesn't matter how good Connor Hellebuck plays. So I do think the Oilers will get past the Jets relatively quickly. I don't think it's going 7 games, but I do think this series is going to be a sweat still, like every playoff series kind of is. So that concerns me, that maybe more than the playoff or the season series between these two teams as well. Like, the way the Jets are playing right now should probably be the biggest concern for them. They can't win anything. 2 wins in their last 10 games. If they get Ehlers back, that'll help. So I think their recent play would be more of a concern. If I was a Jets fan, I'm more concerned about that than the matchup against Edmonton.
And I think, like Dan likes to say, biggest key to any game is getting after him in the first period. I think getting after the Jets in the first game or two, that'll really sink it too. So, I mean, if you're 2-7 against a team, and then, you know, you've had a really good talking to by the coach, and, you know, you're focused, and you're like, okay, bang, bang, let's go. It's 0-0. And all of a sudden you're down 0-1, then 0-2. You sink right back to that spot real fast.
Let me throw this out to the group. What do we think of the back-to-backs? Does that benefit Edmonton or does it benefit Winnipeg?
If you look at our record, it benefits Edmonton. Yeah.
Jack brings it up every game.
Yeah.
Since Dave Tippett's been around, the Oilers have been excellent back-to-backs. I'm not really worried about it. It's just, it's a weird product of having the Canadian division start their playoffs a half a week later than everyone else, you know?
Yeah. Does gonna let Duke, Calgary and Vancouver play.
Obviously, Hellebuck goes back to back. Does Smith?
I think he has to.
So it's games 2, 3, and 4. You're up 2-0. You're up 3-0 after game 3.
Koskinen goes in net. Only scenario you start Koskinen is if you're up 3-0 heading into 2-1, game 4.
2-1's that enough for you?
No.
Well, I think the other element to that, too, is if you're up 3-0, it depends on what the Leafs and the Habs are doing, right?
Yeah, maybe
because the Habs are sweeping too, then you're gonna have a series right away.
Yeah,
I think you worry about Smith on your own, regardless of what's going on around you. He's yours, you know, deal with him. Who cares what anyone else is doing? Like if we ended up going 4 and they go 7 and we played Mikko in 4 instead of, you know, I don't think I'm gonna sit there and get too bummed out about it.
But now there's the part of me that goes like, you know, what if you were to lose that game and it's 3-1 and you got to, you know, they're coming back to Edmonton and there's pressure on you in game 5 because you don't want to go out. Like maybe you do just no matter what role Smith, like if you're worried about giving him rest, like he can get rest after you sweep him. I don't know.
You've got the big stat book there. How many times have we had 2 losses in a row or even 3 losses in a row this season? Not very often. I don't know if we have, I'm sure we have had a 3,
but also we were
2, not very often. So if you do lose that first one, if you do lose the 3-0 game go to 3-1. I don't think the team's going to get too down on themselves where, you know, I think they'll come out real hungry to try and clean it up.
But also we were going back to Smith in those situations, right? Like I think last year more so than this year, we would
last year. I think we need to wipe last year. I think the only thing you want to take away from last year is it's made Connor go from 120 point player. It's pissed him off. And now he's a 150 something. It's put him at 1.8 plus goals or points per game. Like it's angered Connor.
The only thing for me that
the only thing I'm taking, the rest of it is garbage. It's trash. Wipe it. Forget it. It does not even fucking matter.
The only thing
the
for
team
me
was that garbage
that would carry over from last year's play-in round is if Smith comes out and lays up an absolute egg on the first night, you know, oh shit, is this team, you know, going the same way where our goaltending is going to let us down and our offense can't overcome it.
Mikko's only had one bad game. He had that one bad game. He got pulled. And since like Smith came back, Mikko's
last two games were pretty bad.
Why was the last game bad? What did he do? Unless I'm
that, that tying goal against the,
Montreal.
Sure. The bad goal. Whatever, we still won the game.
Still stopped 25 shots.
It's again, like I said, that's the only thing I would say that this team probably takes away is that, like, oh shit, here we go again,
who was in net when we were down 3-0 to Vancouver and then we came back and win? I think that was Smith who rode the whole way. And he's the type of guy that, you know, even if one gets past him, he's still, I don't know if the rah-rah type of guy is the right word, but he's, you know, he's got that swagger. That doesn't bother him. Doesn't matter, you guys. Connor, you have 150 fucking last points this year. What's it matter if one puck went in? We are going to score 5 tonight anyways. Who gives a shit?
I don't think anything that happened in August matters.
Yeah, sure.
There's one thing it does. Is the fact we lost and it's taken Connor from 120 point to put, it's pissed him off and sent him to another fucking level. That's the only thing that's I'm taking out of this. That the rest of it's garbage.
It's
the
like how,
the team was trash.
How can you really put too much stock into what happened in a 4-game series after a 4-fucking-month hiatus?
I think it's a fair point.
But
like you just look at him. We know this team inside and out. We watch him fucking more than almost anybody in this world. And that was not the Oilers from that. That was not the fucking team that we'd watched previous to the stoppage or whatever. That just wasn't them. They were wearing the same jerseys. They had the same name bars back there, but that was not the same fucking team. This team is fucking different. This is going to be much different. These playoffs are going to be much, much different this year.
For 90 years and 4 generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee-owned business here in Edmonton with all of the insurance products that you could ever possibly need. Life insurance, car insurance, home, auto, whatever you need. Our friends at Cornerstone Insurance are there. And if you go to cornerstoneins.ca, cornerstoneins.ca, there's a handy little tab there for citizens of the nation. Get yourself a discount on some insurance from our friends at Cornerstone. We were talking about a couple of things before we started recording here. All of us here on the podcast, we like a bet or two. So one of the books we were looking at had some points predictions, and I thought they would be fun to play with since we love points predictions here. Tyler, we were looking at McDavid and Draisaitl specifically for this one.
Yep.
What are the bets we're looking at? What are we trying to decide on? Let's make a little money here as a team.
All right. So the point total over unders for the Oilers as they head into their series against the Jets, Connor McDavid is set at 10.5, but it is worth noting that the over is paying pretty well at +130, but over 10.5 points for McDavid. I personally like this bet. I took advantage of this bet, laid some money down on it as well. Against the Jets this year, he's absolutely torched them, 104 points in 55 games. No reason to think Connor McDavid can't get 11 points. Like, even if you just break it down in the sense that, okay, the Oilers, if they win the series, have to win four games. Connor McDavid averaging 2.5 points per game in the wins only, that's not that far-fetched, and he's probably going to get on the board if they lose one or two as well. So I think over 10.5 is the play here.
All right, over 10.5 for Connor McDavid. I'm going to say, yes, sir. I am refusing to bet against him again this year. I will not do it. Over 10.5, I don't care if they only play four games and it's a sweep. He will fucking get there. Dan?
Well, as the guy that missed his prediction by 5 points below it, yeah, you're bang on, Bag Milk. There's just, you can't say anything but over for this guy at this point. Like Rick said, he's also playing pissed off. And Rick? That's a good Connor.
Yeah, no, I don't see how you could take the under with a guy like this, especially on the Terry's on right now. His points and game, it's ridiculous what he's doing right now. And there's no reason to think that Winnipeg's figured out some way to stop him. So yeah, I would, even in four games, no problem, 11 points.
What about the second half of the dynamic duo, Tyler? What do we got for Leon Draisaitl?
The line for Leon Draisaitl is set at 9.5. The over paying a very juicy +150. The under paying -213. If you're not familiar with betting terms, that means the sports books think he will go under 9.5. I think I kind of want to agree with them. I think 9.5 might be a little bit too lofty of a number for Leon Draisaitl, just considering that we're not expecting him to start on the same line as Connor McDavid. You know, he'll get his power play production and all that. He'll produce it 5-on-5 as well, but 9 points in a 7-game series is still a lot for Draisaitl if he's not with McDavid. I think I might lean towards the under on this one, which means I'm not betting it because -213 sucks.
Rick?
To be fair, I didn't take the Connor one and I'm not touching this one either, but the way I think the series is going, I think it's going to be awfully difficult for him to get to 10 points without playing on Connor's line 5-on-5. I would not be surprised to see him do it, but I'm not risking my money on it. But if I have to make a guess at it, I will say under, just because of the way I see the series going, I don't think it's going to happen.
Mr. Nation Dan, Leon Draisaitl, +/-9.5 points.
I have to admit, when you said 9.5, it just made me sit here and kind of listen to what you guys were saying. I hear what you guys are saying, but for me, I think it's a boring podcast if everybody just agrees. I'm going to say he goes over just merely for the fact that I think the Jets will key in on Connor and leave Leon to do his thing. And I do believe that you're starting to see little sprinkles of chemistry throughout that second line, no matter who the mix is, whether it's Cahoon, Draisaitl and Yamamoto, or Nuge, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, who knows. But I'll say over, and I think it would be like a tight over of 10.
I'm going to say life's too fucking short to bet the under. So I hammer that over.
Nice.
I'm hammering the over.
A good payout.
I think that there.
Did you bet it?
I did bet it. There is going to be power plays. So while I agree at 5-on-5, Connor and Leon probably are not going to be together. Power plays, you know, they're going to be together. If there's any shifts following a penalty kill, those two are together. 4-on-4, they'll be together. There's plenty of scenarios where they will be together. I think that second line as well. Nuge is starting to heat up. For the love of God, Yamo will start scoring a little bit. Those three can do some damage if that is the second line, of course. So fuck the under, man. Life's too short. Going for the over. Over 9.5 for Leon? Yes. The only way it doesn't happen is in a 4-game sweep. Yeah. That's my prediction.
But even then, even with a four-game sweep, I like to think that there would be one game in there where the Oilers score like seven goals, right? Yeah, if they're dominating the Jets that hard, then there might be a game where they pop seven and he has 4 points. You never know. A couple more here to get to. The first is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Yesterday when the lines opened, Nuge's total was 3.5 points. Paying an incredible plus 140 on the over. Like this guy in the top six, on the top power play unit, He might be out there late in games with empty net looks as well. I hammered over 3.5. I think the books realized they made a mistake because today it's up to 4.5. So is 4.5 enough to give anyone here some hesitation, or do you still think 5 points in a playoff round for Nuge is fine?
He got 9 points in four games against the Blackhawks. Hammer the over.
Over.
Yeah, over all the time there. Good on you guys for finding some value there.
Yeah.
He's getting his shot. He's getting that shot back, that Messier yep. 1 foot bump type of. He's getting that shot back. He gets that shot back. He starts playing like he did last year. He puts up big points.
We got a few more to get to here still, actually, because I just noticed.
As Tyler's looking, what's the text that I always get, Tyler? It's leg up, snapshot, blocker side, fist pump.
Yep, that's the four pieces of the vintage Ryan Nugent-Hopkins goal. Let's lump the two defensemen into one here. Darnell Nurse, over under 3.5. The over pays plus 155. Tyson Barrie, over 4, plus 110 on that one. So the better payout is with Darnell Nurse and the over 3.5. You're getting better odds, and it's half a tick lower. I'll start with you, Rick. Nurse or Barrie, which one do you like more to hit that over?
Just the way the season's gone, Nurse. I see him getting a goal or two even. You know, he gets those weird three-on-twos, and he's coming down the left side and rips a clapper from the top of the circles. He scored a bunch. I think Barrie gets most of his points on the power play, which I have absolutely no basis for at all. I just think it's going to be a little bit easier for Nurse to do it. And even though Barrie is the top point-producing defenseman this season, I think Nurse has just got that little special season going right now. And I see this team doing some special things. And he's one of the guys I see doing special things.
I'll tell you again, I fucking hammered the over on both of them. I am feeling bullish on the
boys. Well, four-game sweep, all 2-1, and Bag Milk is losing his shit.
I think when you look at this division overall, you know, the offense has been there. And so it's not a bad bet to go over and continue to go over until you see otherwise. So
the only thing is that I see teams playing a little bit more conservative in their own defensive zone as to not get scored on, rather than pushing like a little bit more, because you're just the way it goes. However, when you have the two top players in the world right now, I think they're, even when they're playing a little conservative, they still have put up a ridiculous amount of points.
I think Tyler is right when he said that there's going to be a blowout. And I don't know if that's going to be Oilers or Jets. I don't know. But I think that there's going to be some points on the board. Not every game, but I do think that there's going to be enough scoring to make a lot of these over bets justified.
Did we beat Anaheim 7-0 one of those games on the 17th?
Well, I was there. What I'm saying. Leon got a hat trick. I was there.
Yeah.
Just the fact that this Oilers team is that top six is so high powered and the Jets are so weak defensively that I think over a 7-game series, you're due to just have a stinker if you're Winnipeg, and they've been prone to stinkers recently. A couple of things quickly. I noticed there's a Leon Draisaitl goals prop, which is 3.5 and it pays plus 150. I almost like that more than I like the 9.5 points. Like, he could 100%. Very easily have two goal games, and he hits that thing, and it's plus 150. That seems like a good bet. The last one, our boy Jesse Puljujärvi, his over under for goals is 1.5, and that pays plus 135. His over under for points is 3.
The goals is easy money.
Over, baby.
I'm saying Jesse walks away from this series with 3 goals.
I can see him getting 4 or 5 points.
I think that Jesse Puljujärvi is starting to heat up. He's playing some fucking great hockey. He is learning how to play with McDavid. He knows where Connor wants him to be at this point. You hammer the overs every time.
Bag Milk's account is just over. He's expecting 45 goals for in the first 5 games.
Just how incredible of a segment was this, where we bring up like 9 betting lines and every single time we're all like, yeah, no, the over makes sense.
Well, yeah, here's the thing though. Here's the thing. I know Bag Milk, and I know he can show the receipts to say that he pounded the over on all of this stuff.
I said on this podcast right now, I said, take under 9.5 for Draisaitl. I bet the over. I'm going against myself.
You know what? The Kool-Aid goes down smoothly at playoff time, and I am spending some money. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, I guess.
Everything goes down smoothly at playoff time.
It's fucking beautiful. I guess we'll wrap up this preview segment, boys, with the series as a whole. I don't think this is going to be as easy as some people do. I think that the Jets, despite sucking balls down the stretch, are still a good hockey team. They're just not playing well. I think that will earn them a couple of wins, but not a series win. 6 games, 4-2 Oilers.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I say six games. I think Mike Smith has a stinker of a game, and I think Hellebuck has a hell of a game, and that's where the two W's come from.
Oilers, boys,
go for it.
Oilers go up 2-0 after home ice. They drop game 3, but rebound with the back-to-back to go up 3-1. They come back for game 5, blowing the Jets out of the water by a score of 6-2 and winning the series 4-1.
Write that all down, Tyler, just in case.
Yeah, okay. Someone will have that. It.
All right, I got it. So
we're taking the over and everything, boys. Come on. There's a lot of goals, a lot of points. That means a lot of wins for us. This is over in 5. I do not see Mike Smith laying out that stinker. I can see them finding a way to sneak out a win, but I do not see them finding a way to sneak out more than that. And I don't think it's just because they haven't played well in the last little bit. I think we're a better team than them on paper and on the ice. And I think we proved it throughout the season. There's no reason to think that they're going to do anything more than if we do this in 4, I wouldn't be overly surprised. I'll be incredibly drunk, but I won't be overly surprised.
Fair enough.
It's nice to feel good, doesn't it, boys?
Yeah, it feels great.
It's nice.
We did this with Chicago.
We did.
So there is a little bit, but I feel a lot more confident this year. And like I said before, Connor is playing like a man possessed. And what we've watched this year is one of the greatest seasons. This is the greatest season by a player this century. And it goes back probably even more than that. Dude, I think this could be a real special year.
Well, I was just going to say
that the other thing with, you know, us drinking the Kool-Aid on the Chicago thing is there was just 1,000 question marks that we had no answers to, mm-hmm. Versus, you know, with that 4-month, 5-month break in between games. So you understand that we were excited because the team that we left behind at the start of the pandemic was not the team that showed up for the play-in round. You probably don't see the same. Knock on wood. There's my Oilers fan in me just saying you probably don't. You don't see the same on Wednesday night. And so that's where, you know, again, the play-in round doesn't really play in, except for fans, because we can always be a little bit terrified.
Even the terrified part of me is excited. I can't wait. I love the fucking playoffs. I love the first round. I love that the Oilers are in it. I love that McDavid's going nuclear, and I can't wait for this to get started. There's this stupid fucking bullshit game tomorrow against Vancouver that still has to happen, and that's fine. I don't care about the score. I don't care about what happens. I just hope everybody has a hashtag good time and makes it through healthy, you know?
We talked about this earlier, and I don't know if you had a little spinoff for it planned or not, but I still think with tomorrow's game, just because there's a week, you know, otherwise, if you don't play tomorrow's game, there's a week between games. I can see Mike Smith getting the start, going through the motions.
Koskinen confirmed starter.
Well, never mind then. I still see him doing his pregame stuff. He probably takes... I just see him going through the same motions he's going to want for game 1. He's already said he's an older goaltender now. He's taken a lot more... pride in his setup, in his pregame routine, and I think he's going to want that. So I could see him doing a lot of things that he would normally do when he's starting, as opposed to when he's most likely going to sit on the bench the whole game.
Another thing for tomorrow's game as well, looks like Slater Cuckoo is back for the first time. He'll be playing alongside Ethan Bear on the third pairing.
Just to confirm our predictions there before we go forward, I want to make sure I'm writing them down correctly. Bag Milk and myself with 6. Oilers in 6, and Rick and Tyler, you're saying in 5?
Yes. Yep.
Perfect.
I just tweeted it out as well, Dan, so you can track that tweet just like you did with the points one, because I'll forget 2 seconds from now.
Well, with Cuckoo playing tomorrow, what do we think? Does that give him a green light to game 1? Are they just trying to get an idea of where he's at and then make a decision after that? Where's everybody sitting on that? Because I know personally, I'd prefer to see Jones in.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of A, a little bit of B here, Rick. I think Caleb Jones didn't look very good last time out. He's had a good second half of the season, but a couple of rough moments. And I think Dave Tippett's probably looking at Slater Cuckoo, who, when he was hurt, like the last couple of games before he got hurt, I think he was in and out of the lineup, if I remember correctly, and wasn't playing his best. But early in the year, that guy was looking like a top four D-man at some points, and he's got a little bit of playoff experience, I believe, right? So I think Slater Cuckoo is a guy who might draw in on game one if he plays well tomorrow. I think tomorrow is just a big test for him.
You don't think they have that preference of going with Jones in game one, and if things aren't good, having confidence in bringing him in for game two as opposed to the vice versa? Like, let's say he looks good tomorrow, but that has a stinker on game one. You're going to feel – how would you feel bringing Jones in at that point?
I think you might be right. I think Jones might get game one no matter what, but he'll be on a shorter leash if Cuckoo plays well tomorrow.
Yes.
A couple of other items to take care of just before we get to the Deuce Vodka Hot and Cold performers here. According to Darren Dreger on last night's episode of Insider Trading, it looks like Tyson Barrie will be testing free agency. He does want to come back to the Oilers, according to Dreger, that is, but he's looking for a 5 or 6 year deal that provides a little bit of stability. And it doesn't look like Ken Holland wants to play that game. Just real quick around the horn, everybody's thoughts on Tyson Barrie potentially going to free agency. To me, this was a perfectly executed plan by Barrie. He came in, he got all the points that he said he wanted to get, took a discount in Edmonton, lighten it up. He will get some major cash from somebody in the offseason unless he signs a discount here in Edmonton, which I just don't see happening based on what I was reading and hearing yesterday.
Unless it's like 6x4 or something like that, I agree. And I like you said, a perfectly executed plan from Barrie. Also a perfectly executed plan from the Oilers.
Yep.
The plan was for him to come in, reestablish his value, fill in for the injured Oscar Klefbom, and be a bit of a stopgap for the young D-man.
Yep.
Check, 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 check. He led all defensemen in scoring. This went way better than either side could have imagined it was going to go. But I think we have to remember and not, you know, fall in love too quickly here. This was meant to be a one-year plan in a way. And there is a bigger picture at hand here. And if Barrie is going to go get 6x6 from someone, or if the Seattle Kraken want to give him 4 years by $6 million or something crazy like that, then I think as much as you love the guy and he was great this year offensively and he produced so much and he looked like he fit in so well. If he wants to chase that big ticket, you got to let him go, and you can't handcuff yourself for the final 3 years of that deal just because you love what he did for 55 games this year.
There's going to be other Tyson Barries.
Well, and especially you got Bouchard already in your system. Yeah. I saw Gregor arguing with Zach about it last night. I don't think anybody is saying that Bouchard is Tyson Barrie right now, but for the cost of what Evan Bouchard is on the books, I feel very confident in suggesting that Evan Bouchard can produce at least 20% of what Tyson Barrie did this year. I just think it's a plan to get him in. It's the fit. He's already here. He's cheap. He's exempt. It all makes sense.
I completely agree. I think, you know what, this is perfect for both sides. It worked out really well for us. Look where we're at. It's worked out really well for him. Look where he's at. And I think his ultimate goal was to have options, you know, us obviously included and everybody else out there. So that's exactly what he's going to get. But when it comes to the Gregor thing there, I don't think you're not swapping the two.
No.
You know, I think Bear, he's started off not in great shape. So he had a bit of a bum start to the year, started to get better, got his concussion, came back from that, didn't look great, started getting better. And I think he's now back to the pretty much where we expect him to after watching him last season. So I still think he takes a step up like next year. I think he can handle a lot of your 5-on-5. The majority of what Barrie was doing 5-on-5. I think they've chosen Larson over Barrie. I think you have Larson keep doing what he's been doing. And then I think they're asking Bouchard to come in and clean up the rest of the minutes is perfect. I think he's suitable and he's ready to go as a number three, 5-on-5. And, you know, he can split the power play with Darnell.
And the other thing too, is I see a lot of talk about You know, like you can't give young players, you can't gift them roster spots. You need to make sure they earn it and they overripen. And people love that buzzword, right? Overripen. But let's look at Bouchard here. It's not like they just drafted him. Like if we were having this conversation in August and Bouchard was just drafted a month ago, then I'd be saying, yeah, you can't bank on him just coming in and being an NHLer. But since the Oilers drafted him, he went down, he played 8 playoff games in Bakersfield in 18-19.
Looked really good doing it.
He was a point a game in those first 8 games.
Exactly.
And then the next season, he played all 54 games in the American Hockey League, 36 points. And to start this year, he went over to Sweden, played 23 games in the Hockey Allsvenskan. He has basically 2 seasons of developmental hockey under his belt. And then he's come up and played 13 games this year in the NHL on top of the 7 he played a couple of years ago. So now he has 20 games of NHL experience, a handful of experience in tier 2 professional leagues as well. This isn't handing Evan Bouchard a roster spot just because you picked him 9th or 10th overall or whatever. This is Evan Bouchard earning a spot and the natural progression of his career. If he's not going to be an everyday NHLer next season, then trade him. Then when is he? Because if he's not ready now, he's never going to be ready. But guess what? He is ready.
Yep. 100%.
I'm just going to give Tyler a look of appreciation for that little rant. That was really nice.
Thank you. Well, I mean, it's just people are like, really that's what the old Oilers would do, giving players roster spots. And it's like, but they're not like, it's not like he has no experience and they're just tossing him in. He's looked so good for 13 games this year. You know, he's an NHL defenseman.
It's literally his next. This is literally his next step in progression. Is like now it has to be NHL. He's proven he's ready. Now it's time to put him in there and let him figure out how to swim in the big leagues.
And it's also important too that like nobody's saying that he's going to play top pairing minutes here at 5-on-5 or anything. He's just, but he can handle third pairing, no problem. A little bit of power play. Fucking guy's got a bullet of a shot. It makes sense.
Yep. And it, for me, to Tyler's point of the old Oilers and the way they used to do things, we the old Oilers have done everything, and they've done everything wrong in the past. We've signed guys that have had career years to albatrosses of contracts that then we're struggling to get rid of afterwards. Zach Cassian has a contract right now that we're talking about, you know, overpaying for a guy who had a good season. Like, I just, it's fascinating to me that we're doing this conversation right before the playoffs start, first of all.
And no, then that's, second this conversation has been going on all season, to be
no,
fair.
I know, but right now, let's enjoy the playoffs. We have the leading scorer on defense in the league, on our team. Who cares what happens next year?
We got still got a week to go till they drop the puck.
Well, yeah, so we got to do something. We got to
fill the time with something.
Lots
but
of
yeah,
time
so I agree. But I think the majority of people, I think why the Gregors of the world kind of bring this up is because a lot of people try and discount Barry and what he's doing and try and, you know, say, oh, he's getting all, this is all because he's playing with Connor. Well, there's a whole bunch of defensemen that played with Connor, and not one of them has been the fucking leading point getter for defensemen in the league. So I do think Barry's done a very good job. I think it's just, dude, it's not the right situation. Like our next is ready to go, and it's a 1-year thing. Thank you. See ya.
The other thing to remember too, when he signs for the bag in Buffalo, you know.
The other thing to remember is that like Evan Bouchard's on an ELC, Ethan Bear's on a cheap contract. If you get Adam Larson for like 3.75, which is apparently the rumor going around, and then even look on the left side of your blue line where Jones is dirt cheap, if you can find a way to keep him through the expansion draft. Nurse is still making under $6 million a year. And if you get Klefbom back, he's making like 4.1. That's a damn good blue line, and it's dirt cheap. The money you're going to save from not giving Barry $5.5 million, that might be enough to not only bring back Nugent Hopkins. You have enough money to do that anyways. With you sub out Barry, you bring in Bouchard to the third pairing, Bear's on your top pairing, and then maybe you can sign Brandon Saad, Blake Coleman, Thomas Tatar, go down the list of left wingers in free agency. You have money to go not only sign Nuge, but bring in another impact left winger. Yep. And now all of a sudden, you're looking at a top six that is damn scary. It already is fucking frightening.
We've been talking about it all year. How great would it be to have another top six second left winger? If they let Barry walk, they got the juice to do it.
And you have the rookie, you have the kid coming up too. Not for a broken thumb, what do you be playing already? But Holloway is going to be pushing for a spot next year. And this isn't just us being homers. This is Every, you know, all the experts on TV, quote unquote experts, are saying that he's ready to go.
How great does this top nine sound next year? Coleman, McDavid, Puljujarvi, Nuge, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, McLeod, Holloway, Cassian.
That's sick. It's ridiculous. You brought up really quick, though, you did bring up Adam Larsson. It's looking like the Oilers have made some progress on a deal for him that will be shy of $4 million for about 4 years. Curious what everyone's take is on that. For me, a little bit long on term, but if they can get him under $4 million, then that's a pretty solid deal for the Oilers, no?
I agree. I think the fourth year, if there is a fourth year, could be at the beginning stages of the cap going up. So it might not actually be the same type of pain that we're used to. There might be some, with the cap, and when the cap does start to go up, I think it's going to go up quicker and a little more substantially than normal. So I think that contract wouldn't be that much of an albatross come then. I would prefer 2 to 3 years, but if he keeps playing the way he has, man, 4 years of this is, I'm okay with it.
For me, the only concern with the fourth year is just his back, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it hasn't acted up at all this year. Maybe he just had some lingering effects last year, and it wasn't really like a old man, I have a bad back, is, you know, more of like, I have an injury that needs to be fully healed, and maybe it's fully healed, and now he's got a perfect quote unquote back again.
Well, what does everybody think? Adam Larsson, let's say it is under $4 million. You like it or no?
TJ Brody got 5 last year from Toronto, and I think Tanev got 4.5 from Calgary. So if you get Larsson under 4, I'm all over it. I give the fourth year because I think that's what keeps the AAV low. I've heard Larsson loves it here in Edmonton, has no desires to leave or anything like that. So that might have been the negotiation. His agent probably said, hey, he can get 4.5 on the open market this year. And the Oilers said, well, if he likes it here, we'll tack on a fourth year that other teams probably wouldn't. Let's knock down that AAV and get this thing done.
Dan?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just, that's the kind of defenseman that we don't have necessarily coming up through the system. So you got to hold on to that gritty, that physical defenseman that you're going to need for a playoff run. And so, yeah, I don't see Kulikov doing that. It's going to be up to Nurse and Larsson to kind of carry that physicality load for us for a while. And so, yeah, you got to keep him around.
Most importantly, and I can't believe anybody hasn't acknowledged this.
Team
Adam
abs.
Larson's, well, first of all, the abs team, yes, of course, but the playoff beard that Adam Larsson can grow will be fucking incredible because that thing is already thick and full and we haven't even gotten started yet.
Yeah,
the
but is anybody
gonna, terrifying.
Is anybody going to even notice it when Jujar walks into our room?
No. That's Jujar, like, he's going to have a playoff beard 6 minutes after he shaves. That fucking guy's got a hell of a beard, and I can't wait to see it come in. I'm also just looking forward to seeing the playoff facial hair in general. Tyler's already growing his. He looks great.
I have a 3-month head start. I'm just looking right now at the pictures of all the Oilers here and sort of who's going to be at the top of the, quote, all beard team with the Oilers. Mike Smith would be a good pick.
Of course.
He's going to have a great beard. Adam Larsson, like you said, is our Swedish Gator. He looks beautiful already. Kulikov looks like he might have a bit of the neck beard thing going on, but he might be able to pull something off there. Devin Shore might be a bit of a sleeper. We'll see how thick that beard gets. Nugent Hopkins will always probably win the fan favorite category.
It's going to be a classic.
He'll have the Urim Chuck.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah. Or is it another way around? Leon Draisaitl is probably the one I'm most excited to see what he can do. Because you remember back in 2017, he got that bad boy going.
But is he going to really let it like... He's not going to let it go like Joe Thornton's got,
I think
right?
He
like,
will.
I feel like he's going to be like, I kind of cleans it up a bit and keeps it trimmed. And, you know, there's some maintenance you have to do to these things. Trust me.
Leon, you can't do that, buddy. You just got to let it go. You will be a fucking terrifying man if you let that thing go.
Do we get the tip stash?
I'm going to write an article about this because I demand it.
There's not enough public pressure right now. I don't think anyone's brought it up in the last little while. I know Bagmelk, you've got a little in with Reed. Maybe you can get Reed to stick that in his ear and let him know, because I think that's something that needs to be brought up. And I do believe something like that, like just the way this whole year is going, the year Connor's having, and then have that the tip stash come out too. Oh, come on. That's storybook.
So I am writing an article about it, and I'm also gonna do a collage of previous tip stashes throughout the years. Cause this fucking guy has got a hell of a mustache that he can do. And I feel like I feel like a portion of the bubble struggles was a result of him refusing to give it to us.
I did personally ask him at the Mark Spector Golf Classic in 2019.
No, that's true. I remember that, but that's a couple of years ago now. Like I said, no one's really putting in his ear right now. I think we need to get in his ear right now.
You know what the key is, actually? Get into Schmitty's ear and get Schmitty to convince him to grow it.
Probably.
Right. Right.
A little peer pressure in the dressing room, I think, can go a long, long way.
All righty, let's get to our playoff predictions here from around the NHL. Tyler, I believe you have the matchups for us. Let's get to some business.
Yeah, let's get down to it. Let's start with the East Division. I got them written down by division here. So the one seed Pittsburgh taking on the four seeded New York Islanders. I hate the Islanders. I think they're a good team, but they're boring as hell. I refuse to pick them to win. Penguins in seven because I think it'll be close. Rick?
Yeah, I'm looking at the thing in front of me here, and I have they played last year too, didn't they?
Yeah,
in the first round. Yeah. That wasn't very
second
fun
round
to watch.
I think.
Yeah, no, I still have I have Pittsburgh in. I said six or seven. I'll go with six.
Dan, yeah, you're muted. So Bag Milk,
Pens in six.
All right, Dan.
Tyler, you said Pitt in seven.
Yeah,
I'm saying Islanders in five.
Ooh, geez, aggressive. Oof.
I'm a huge Islanders guy this year.
Taylor Hall and his Boston Bruins are the three seed going up against Ovi and the two seeded Caps. I think the Bruins have this one. Depth scoring all the way. Bruins in six. Bag Milk.
I'm going to go with the Caps because I like Ovi. Caps in seven.
Nation down.
I say Caps in six.
Rick.
I like the addition of Halsey. Bruins in seven.
Bruins in seven. Carolina versus Nashville, one seed versus a four seed. I think that is the Central Division, it's called. Yes. I'm going to go Hurricanes in six. I think the Preds are a great story. I think the Canes, even though they don't have the better goaltending, are the better team. Canes in six. Dan?
I also have the Canes in six.
Bag Milk?
Canes in five.
Rick?
I hate doing this because I hate this organization for about 15 years now, but I have Nashville losing in five games. That's how I'm going to word it.
There you go. Classic. Florida, nice. Florida versus Tampa Bay. It's the Sunshine State Showdown, I think is what they're calling it or something like that. This Florida team is dang good, and they are scrappy. They will be tough to put away, but Tampa Bay and all their new additions, like Nikita Kucherov, they'll have enough at the end. I'm going to say Lightning in seven. Rick, you're shaking your head.
I absolutely hate what they did. I know a lot of people online kind of love what they did, and you know, I think there's no respect for the rule. Whatever, it's bullshit. Nonetheless, I've watched that team a lot this year. I don't think they've looked very hungry. I don't think they've looked like they've wanted it too much. They look kind of like the team from 2 years ago. I have Florida in six.
Bag Milk.
You mean it's a problem that they just added like fucking $17 million in players after?
Yeah, like these guys weren't ready to go a month ago. Mm-hmm.
I love the GIFs that are coming out, the GIFs that are coming out of just like
Undertaker sitting up.
Undertaker sitting up as soon as the regular season goes is just the best. I am not going to bet against Pat Maroon. I love him. Bolts in six.
Dan.
Bolts in four.
Ooh, jeez.
Yep.
I think people are underestimating Florida.
I think Florida's fake news, man.
No, man, they hate that team. If you've watched them play against each other in the last little bit,
HockeyFights.com loves that series, and I think it's going to be nasty.
Florida knows what they're doing. I think Florida's going to sneak this one out.
I think this division we're about to talk about is going to be over in a hurry. Colorado versus St. Louis and Vegas versus Minnesota. Let's start with the Avs versus the Blues, where I got the Avs in five. Dan?
Blues in seven.
You're insane.
I know.
Avs in six.
Rick?
I've got Colorado in. I've got four written here. I'll stick with four.
Fair enough. Vegas, Minnesota. I love Kirill the Thrill. I think that was a great story. Dad bought Cam Talbot. Great story as well. Vegas is too good to lose in the first round. Vegas in five for me. Rick, where are you going?
I hate that franchise with everybody just jumping on their bandwagon because they're fucking new. It makes my skin crawl. Nah, they're probably the better team. I got Vegas in six.
Dan?
I hate this franchise because Jacques Lemaire, so five for Vegas.
Bagno?
Vegas in six.
Let's come up to Canada here. Leafs versus the Habs. It was just reported by Eric Engels that they won't have Jonathan Drouin back from his personal leave for this first round, but here's what I'll say. Goaltending is important. The Leafs goaltending is shaky. The Habs have Carey Price, who's been known to steal a series or two. I am going hot take Habs in seven. Nation Dan, you with me or are you riding with the Leafs?
I'm riding with the Leafs. It's Leafs in five for me.
Okay. Bag milk.
Habs in seven, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. Rick.
I'm on board, boys. I'm on board. That goaltending is iffy, and they got some goal scorers in Montreal. They like to get dirty, and this will be my one pick where I'm kind of picking with my hopes more than anything else.
These predictions brought to you by your guys' hearts, not your minds.
I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to put maybe not a lot, maybe just a green one on the Habs to beat the Leafs, but I think I'm
nice
going to do
it. Nice brown bill on the Habs to beat the Leafs?
I don't trust them that much, and I don't like them that much, so no, I'm not going that far, but I might maybe a little something on the Montreal Canadiens to keep me interested. I don't know, man, that Leafs team, that's just, whew.
What's your guys' most confident pick out of all of those, though, other than the Oilers?
Six.
I'm confident in the Oilers. I'm very confident
other than the Oilers.
I'm very confident in Avalanche in five, and I'm also very confident in Bruins beating Washington. I think Washington I don't think the magic is there this season
for them.
I think Boston's running real good right now.
Yeah, I think the addition to Hall really refreshed them, and I think Washington's at the near end of the stage of their championship caliber type run. So I think Boston's gonna take that one.
I'm the biggest Barry Trotz stan I think there is. I think the Islanders come out of that East this year. Or, well, whatever you call that, East, whatever.
Their division?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm very confident in Avs over the Blues and whatever I said. Five, six.
What about home here, boys? What's everyone got for this one? I know I'm sitting.
We already did it.
Oh, we did do this already, too, didn't we?
Podcast has gone on a long time.
All right, Tyler. Get your buttons ready. Time for the Deuce Vodka Hot and Cold Performers of the Week. If you head over to deucevodka.com/find us, you will be able to find a store locator everywhere you can get Deuce Vodka. If you follow Brad Stepanko on Instagram or Twitter, The Bearded Brad, you will see Neon Nation Bomb anytime he scores. Leon scores, that is. So head on over to Deuce Vodka. Enjoy the pictures of Brett Kissel. Enjoy the Deuce Vodka ads that are hilarious. Enjoy them all. Make sure to enjoy responsibly. As we do every week, we start off with our cold performance of the week. We get our veggies out of the way first. Nation Dan, you're up first on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka cold performance of the week.
Well, it's going to be very on brand that my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is the haters of the Deuce Vodka commercial. Those commercials have me roaring every single time I watch them. They are so much fun. Everybody's dropped a deuce in their life. Everybody said that statement that I've dropped a deuce. You get it. It's fun. People are talking about it. We're having fun with it. Oiler fans are having fun with it. Deuce Vodka haters, you're my cold performer of the week.
Y'all stink.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice, Tyler.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tyler, you're next up on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
I'm going to give it to the fact that we have to play out these god-awful regular season games. I'm a media guy. I get it. I understand the NHL doesn't want to give money back. Sportsnet needs to satisfy their ad partners, all of that shit. But like, come on, like I'm just itching. I want playoff hockey. I said this on my pregame podcast. This is like if you knew you were having a juicy steak for dinner and everything you wanted on, it's going to be cooked perfectly. Your mouth is watering. But first they put a bowl of plain oatmeal in front of you. And said, no, you need to finish this whole bucket of plain oatmeal before you get your steak dinner. I don't want that. These last few games, even tomorrow, the Oilers game, I'm always excited for an Oilers game. But this is the plain oatmeal before a steak dinner. And I don't like it.
I'm upset.
Tyler, make sure that you get your fiber in. All right, buddy. I care about your bowels. Rick, you're next up. Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week.
Well, I don't think anything has changed, but and I know I've gone off on this organization a couple weeks ago, but the NCAA again, they have the women's golf tournament that the women's regional to set up for the finals, and they've come out and said that the course is playable, but not at championship level. Therefore, they canceled the whole tournament for the ladies only. The dudes were actually out there on the practice greens and whatnot doing their thing. They canceled the ladies tournament, said, we'll just take the top six teams and the top three best players not involved there. And we'll advance you guys, and just gave up. And I just don't see them doing this with men's golf. I don't see them doing it with any type of men's sport. So again, this is the NCAA, just a corrupt organization who does not treat people all the exact same way. And honestly, these guys got to fix themselves because they've been so bad for so long. And man, we need to move past that. These ladies in their senior year, they deserve to be able to play. This is on NCAA again for just, they're just letting the women's sport down.
They are just fucking ass right now.
A caveat there, allegedly in your opinion, are they a corrupt organization?
Yes, of course. Yes, allegedly in Rick's opinion.
We don't need legal calling up.
So what I have you guys around here for. Thank you.
My Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week is, I'm going to point it at Oilers fans that just, they can't have any fun. You know, we're one meaningless game away from getting into a playoff run here. I still see handfuls of people pointing out the holes. Well, they're not good enough here. They're not good enough there. This has gone wrong. Dave Tippett fucks this up. Ken Holland sucks this. It's just like, relax. Can't we just go into this knowing we've got the two best players on earth? We've got an old man giving Rolly vibes. We've got a playoff tournament where anything can happen. Enjoy it. Have some fucking fun. For fuck's sake, we've been gagging for Oilers playoff hockey for over a decade. Years we've been trying to get to this point where we can have playoffs and have fun. And just to get there and still be pointing out all the negatives without even just enjoying the ride, all I'm asking, please, Oilers fans, sometimes you just got to stop and smell the flowers. So all you negative naysayers that can have no fun no matter what, we're all having a good time. I encourage you to get out of your head and join us. You are my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Flipping the ledger. It is time for our delicious dessert. Mr. Yaremchuk, you are up first. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
The news, and I suppose the decision that was made by the three of us right before we started recording. We heard your cries online. We are bringing you two episodes a week of Oilers Nation Radio throughout the Oilers playoff run every Friday and every Tuesday after the playoffs officially begin. So not this coming Tuesday, but the Tuesday after, you can expect two episodes of Oilers Nation Radio in your ear holes every week. And I love it because I love talking hockey with you guys. And I love that people wanted two a week. So there you go. Hot performer of the week is us for adding a second episode.
Pour it on.
I love Jack. Nation Dan, you're up next to my screen. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, I believe somebody on the podcast made him their hot performer of the week when he actually passed the Gordie Howe record of games played. But my hot performer of the week from Deuce Vodka is going to go out to the Howe family for the way that they handled the exchange. So Patrick Marleau's stick from his record-breaking games played game will go into the Hockey Hall of Fame. The Hockey Hall of Fame wanted to know what the Howe family wanted to do with the stick that Gordie Howe broke the games played record with. And the Howe family, you know, demanded, or I guess asked for that stick to be given to the Marleau family. What a special, special token of gratitude and a special thing for Patrick Marleau, who I think has taken some unfair heat for the fact that he broke one of Gordie Howe's record and isn't, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. But for the Gordie Howe family, pretty special moment for them to bestow upon Patrick Marleau when he had such a special record that he broke. So Howe family, you are my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Put some respect on my name.
I don't get how anybody's having a bad time with Marleau's games record. It's so weird.
It's goofy.
Rick, you're up next. Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, I was going to give it to the entire organization for maybe not just this week, but the entire league, the entire season getting us here. But after hearing what Tyler just said, I'm going to give it to all the people that reached out and wanted us to do a second podcast. I had no idea there were people out there knocking on the door wanting that type of thing. So the fact we're going to get an opportunity to sit down twice a week, do this stuff is going to be I think it's going to be fantastic. I do think there's going to be a bit of a special run. I think we could see something 06-esque. And doing this twice a week, is I think it's going to be fun. So I want to say thank you to everyone who just demanded that we do this twice a week. It hadn't been forgotten,
I, Joe. My Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week is going to go out to everybody that continues to book their vaccines. Everybody that has got at least one shot, I salute you. Everybody who's booked in for shot one, I salute you. If you need to know where to go, albertahealthservices.ca has got all the options available. You can book online. It's got a list of pharmacies that you can call. You can call 811 to book an appointment there. The reason I'm pushing it, my hot performer of the week, is that everybody that getting it done is getting us one step closer to being back at Rogers Place enjoying these games together. That's what I care about. So go out, get your vaccine, get your dose. All of us on this podcast have got shot one. Can't wait for shot two. I can't wait to be doing these podcasts in the same room as you guys. I can't wait to be hanging out with everybody that's listening. I can't wait for the events. I can't wait to go to games. Hot performer of the week goes out to everybody that's gotten a vaccine or is booked in to get a vaccine. Let's keep it going.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Let the record show. I got mine on Monday and still have my Band-Aid on.
When I was in the room, I made a joke to the pharmacist that she wouldn't get, but it was, I told my podcast mates that I was going to get one shot before 10 or 10 shots before one. And she didn't understand, had no idea what I was talking about. Just not happy with me.
Tyler, you got yours on Monday. This is Friday. How do you still have the Band-Aid on? Have you not showered this time?
No, I think he's wrapping it in Saran wrap. Like he's got a tattoo or something.
No, man. Like this Band-Aid, and now it's a social experiment. I shower once or twice a day, depending on how greasy I feel I am. And this thing ain't coming off.
Can we get a brand name of this? I feel like if this thing's lasting 4 or 5 days, they deserve a little pump.
And like not even showing signs, like a little bit of peeling on it. But I know it's gross as hell, but we're in lockdown. No one sees me anyways.
Poor girlfriend.
She's like,
does the girlfriend still have her Band-Aid on?
No, not at all. She's a normal person.
I didn't even get a Band-Aid.
I was bleeding a little bit. She made me like hold the thing on there for a while as well.
Get it in there deep. My body just soaked it in like the fucking first rainfall in spring. You know, it's just like, get in there. Can't wait.
I'm sure everyone listening with their headphones in appreciated us going.
Absolutely. One last thing that I just want to end off the podcast with. Today, we officially launched the playoff hashtag Mission 21. Everything you use or everything you tweet, post on Instagram for the Oilers playoff run, use hashtag Mission 21. We're going to find your stuff. We're going to share it on the Nation accounts. We're going to have some fun with all the posts that everybody's doing throughout this playoff run. So please use the hashtag Mission 21 and head on over to Nation Gear. Get yourself a Mission Stanley t-shirt to commemorate the experience. Why not? Look as good as Tyler does right now. He's not wearing a Mission 21 t-shirt, but he is wearing a Hope Will Never Die hoodie.
That hoodie, I do not believe that hoodie is available anymore.
This is my favorite hoodie I have in my closet. I'll wear this thing until it's nothing. It's just tattered.
I do also enjoy that one. Maybe we should bring it back.
It's a very nice one.
We'll bring that back. From all of us here on the podcast and our friends at Sherwood Ford, Skip the Dishes, Cornerstone Insurance, and Deuce Vodka, thank you very much for listening to episode 138, Oilers Nation Radio. Not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, we will get to two episodes a week throughout the playoffs. Can't wait to do it. Can't wait to talk about more hockey. Again, hit us up with your series predictions, ON Radio Podcast. Leave reviews. And thank you for the feedback and getting us to do two shows a week. I'm looking forward to talking to the boys, and I'm looking forward to talking to you, the listeners. From all of us, thanks again. Have a great weekend. One more game. It's closing time, people. Go Oilers.
Shout out, Damien.
Best wishes.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.